among those whom God favors. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known that what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them.
Early 20th century, Hamilton Wright, maybe. I never heard of him, so it sounds like I know what I'm talking about, but I just came across the quote, and I really dig this. "Blessed is the season which engages the whole world in a conspiracy of love." I'm going to say that again. "Blessed is the season which engages the whole world in a conspiracy of love." During a time where there seemed to be a lot of conspiracies, I thought that that was pretty appropriate. You can go wherever you want with that. So there is this group that shows up on Facebook. It's for clergy, so none of you can come and join us. But at various times, clergy folk will post things that happen in their churches or things that they're worried about or ask questions. And a colleague of mine, actually, this is national, by the way, a colleague of mine surprised me one day because what came across the post was, "I've been at this for 15 years, and I think I have preached on everything there is to preach on. I just don't even know what more I can do." First of all, this was recently, like within the past couple of months, and my first thought very judgmentally was, "Are you kidding me? Like, I have to decide what of the 10 things I'm going to preach on from week to week." And then I realized maybe it's just because I always have something to say, and it's not really a true judgment of what was going on with her. That was not funny. Why are you laughing at that? Hey. And I thought to myself, how can you be finished preaching? And she got various responses from different folks. Some were very, very kind and nothing like I was thinking, I admit it. But things like, "Hey, have you checked out this site? Have you read this particular, you know, piece of material that can help you? Have you gone to this resource or that resource?" Or my favorite, which is, "Oh, it doesn't matter, they don't listen to you anyway." I know that's not true, right? Well, here's the conundrum for preachers, okay? Especially on Christmas and then again on Easter. Because it is such a profound evening and a profound time that we want to preach something that you will hold on to, at least from now until Easter and then from Easter to Christmas. We want it to be good so that you have this message to hold on to, but we don't want it to be so good that you remember it the following year in case we have to do the same thing again. You see the conundrum? And I was thinking to myself, wow, what are we preaching on these days? Like, what is out there? And what does that have to do with the sacred peace of this night? This notion that this season really does call us into be part of a huge conspiracy of love. Yes? Yes. And then I realized something. This entire book, with the exception of some things that I just, well, anyway, that's a story for another day. This whole book is a conspiracy. It's a conspiracy the way Christmas Eve and Christmas is a conspiracy. A conspiracy of love. Do you know what I'm talking about? Well, I'm going to tell you because it's your lucky night. So here's the deal. In this book, God flips the world upside down. There is nothing that happens in here that is expected. Oh, we think it's expected because we've heard the story over and over again. And so we think we know how it's going to end and where it's going to go, right? But I'm here to tell you, not necessarily. There's a whole conspiracy in here because God does some funky things, okay? In this book, in the multitudes of stories, God finds the most peculiar people to live into what it means to be representatives of this big conspiracy to love. Okay? So God finds drunks. You read about Noah? Yeah. Adulterers, prostitutes. God finds tax collectors, thieves, narcissists, antisocial personality disorders. God finds the most ridiculous people to do the work to demonstrate this conspiracy. People that we wouldn't choose. The whole premise of the house of David is built on someone who is not only an adulterer, but sent his best friend out to be murdered. What? See, there is hope for our world, right? The whole book is about the ridiculousness of God. The whole book is about a conspiracy that goes up and against anything that we would have imagined a story should hold. A hero figure, a trooper, somebody who's awesome and high moral quality and all that other good stuff. None of that happens in here. God uses children, and on Christmas uses a baby born in the stinkiest place imaginable, among the smelliest animals, rejected by his own, and gets visited by those folks who nobody would have anything to do with. Let me tell you, shepherds were not, you know, on the top of the list. It's a conspiracy. And it goes up and against every way that we imagine a superhero or a story should go when we think about what it is that we are trying to accomplish. Here we have a baby who is going to represent what it means to love. Here we have a child who will grow up and demand from everyone that he is with impossible things like justice and compassion and understanding and forgiveness. It's ridiculous. Don't you think? Oh, you do, just say so. When we think about it in those terms, when we recognize that God flips everything up and uses people in ways that we think are impossible, we suddenly are really in trouble. Because here's the greatest conspiracy of all, right? If God can use all of these crazy folk from Scripture right down to the birth of an infant, then what do you think God wants from us? If God has such high expectations, no, let's use a different word. If God has such faith in what we would term the dregs of humanity to step forward and demonstrate love and compassion and justice, then imagine the faith that God must have in us. I think that's the bigger conspiracy. And here's where I mess things up royally for the season of Advent. So we'll go back and start over, okay? We'll just wait another 4 weeks. What's the big deal, right? Advent has always been that time of waiting and anticipating and preparing, right? When we are waiting for something hopeful and joyful and peaceful and loving to come forward and remind us that all is well or it will be well, and we are reminded of all these good things. But here's where I blew it. Because the idea is that we are sitting here and waiting, right? What if God's the one who's doing the waiting? What if Advent to Christmas isn't about us waiting and anticipating and looking for the hope and the joy and the love and the peace and this conspiracy and this idea that things will be better and that we want to be reminded of all those things, right? What if it isn't about that? What if it's God saying, I'm waiting. I'm waiting because you know these stories, you've heard them, and they must have meaning because you go back every year and repeat it again and again, but you keep waiting for the same things, but I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting, and I'm hopeful, and I'm faithful that you'll get it. That all of these conspiracy stories of Scripture are just part of the stories, but you are the characters in the next part of the story. And I'm waiting for you. And it's taking a long time, by the way. So if you're looking for that hope, I'm waiting for you to be that hope in my world. And if you're looking to be reminded and to feel joy, well, guess what? I'm waiting for you to be that joy. I'm waiting for you to be the epitome of that peace. I'm waiting for you to be the co-conspirators in this concept of love that I wish to share. So by the time we get to this place on Christmas Eve that we've been waiting for, I can't help wondering if God hasn't been waiting a little bit longer. I'm going to send you some angels because you didn't get it yet. So I'm going to send them out to you and remind you that, hey, you, come on. Come. And if that doesn't work, then we'll do it all again next year. We are called to be these co-conspirators, not just in this season, but in any season. We are as unpredictable and ridiculous characters as anybody else in that book. We are all saying that when we show up on bended knee in front of this horrible, really, I mean, we romanticize it, but let's face it, there's poop in there. Right? There it is. Yeah. It's not just Jesus's. It's lots of stuff, right? It's cold, stinky, smelly. But when we show up there, we are saying yes. We are saying yes the way Elizabeth and Mary said yes. We are saying yes the way the shepherds said yes. We are saying yes the way the angels, the kings, and every other character in that book say yes, because here we are. So what else are we doing if we're not saying yes? I will be your co-conspirator. So, here we are. And tomorrow, after Santa makes his way, where is he right now? Iceland? Did you say Iceland? Yeah, okay. So, as Santa makes a turn and heads on back and Christmas comes and goes, God is still waiting for us to be part of this story, to be co-conspirators, not only in this season, but in every season. Let the people say, amen.
Holy child of poverty, so lowly is your birth. Sharing our humanity, embracing all the earth. Every nation, every race, every person wears your face. Come anew, O child of dreams.
Joyful child of mystery, come warm our winter night. Fire our dull complacency and fill us with your light. Speak the word that makes us whole. Lead us, child. Child of ecstasy, creation sings your love. Light gives back your radiancy and fills the skies above. Gentle glow from candlelight, splendor of justice and our peace, born into our history, that hatred's all may cease. Bring us all to life from death, be our hope, our joy, our breath. Come anew, O child of our dreams.
That was, I know, it's hard to know, do we clap, do we stay prayerful, I know, but that was just brilliant. So thank you, and thank you. That was so good, Evelyn, thank you. So here's something that's really important to understand with our particular community. We are a small church, but we are connected to a larger church. We are connected to the larger Church of Christ, and we find that that relationship that we have is very critical. So critical that we participate in an offertory each Christmas Eve in order to demonstrate how connected and how important it is for us to support our larger church. In years gone by, pastors did not have the great salaries that we have today. You're laughing like that was sarcasm. I don't understand. But in all seriousness, this is a call, and this is a place where people who wanted to do this work were, even though it meant that they didn't necessarily own their house, or they didn't have a pension plan, or health care. And so a lot of clergy and a lot of folks who have worked for churches in the past are on limited incomes. So anything that we collect on Christmas Eve, not just here, but across our country in our UCC churches, goes towards a fund that assists retired clergy and retired folks who have worked for the church in ways that make an innumerable difference in their lives. So anything we collect tonight, I want you to know where that goes. It goes to the larger church, and it goes to people who have committed their lives to being co-conspirators. So usually we get a little gift from Bridget in these plates each Sunday. Today, we're just going to put Bridget in the plates, and she's going to be our gift. You think? Yeah? Yeah. You can take those. Go ahead. You go ahead and take them. Yep. Can you hold them both? Okay. Okay. Loving God, thank you for all of these gifts. We promise that we will use these gifts and all of the gifts that we have to help those in need and to create a better world. Say amen. Amen. Thank you. Don't you? Yeah. Come here. Can you read that? Yeah. Hang on 1 second.
Okay. Holy One of all ages, maker of time, mark of the Alpha and point to the Omega, creator, sustainer of everything living, touching us all who hold a hope with a vision that breaks through boundaries to grasp the blurred horizon.
You give your promise a blessing of joy to those who
have not lost their faith in you.
With renewed expectation to Emmanuel, God with us.
To know our time of proclaimed favor, we make again the pledge that you ask.
Share justly the good things I give you. Reconcile with peace the rule of abuse. Give courage to those who voice the words of lives that have been silenced.
Send us to carry your good news to those burdened with debt. Transform their chains into clasps of love, of prayer, of concern, and action.
Aware of your spirit always among us, we sustain your purpose with passions. Increase our endeavor to do what you ask of us. Where are the wrongs to be righted?
Now is the time it will be
achieved
in
acting justly,
in loving
tenderly,
and in walking closely with you,
our beloved. Amen. Thank you, sweetie.
Beloved community, we have a job to do, to carry the hope, joy, peace, and love of this season, and be co-conspirators with the ancestors of our faith to bring about the kingdom of God. Go now in peace, joy, love, and hope.
And may this season and every season that follows be a reminder of the faith that our beloved has in you, in us, to do justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God. Amen. And now we get to sing our hearts out. If you could stand up and give it all you got for joy to the world, because you are going to go out and be that joy. Amen?
Amen.